Day Street Books and Harper Audio present Drop In, The Gender Rebels Who Changed the Face of Skateboarding by Deborah Stoll. Read by Deborah Stoll and Daru Oda. This is Deborah Stoll. For Alina. Let us then, by being allowed to take the same exercises as boys, arrive at perfection of the body, that we may know how far the natural superiority of man extends. Mary Wollstonecraft. How could we ever really know or love each other as long as we played those roles that kept us from knowing or being ourselves? Betty Friedan. I just wanted to be standing sideways. Kim Peters. Prologue. History, it is said, is written by the victors. And so it is that the male-dominated history of skateboarding has been written by men, is about men, and celebrates men, with a few delightful women popping up hither and yon. This book is about skateboarders who identify as anything but men, which isn't to say that men who skateboard are bad. Many are good, super even, fantastic. But it's time to tell some different stories, to set some records straight, to recognize and historicize the female, queer, bi, and non-binary humans responsible for today's more equitable skate culture. Nothing exists in a vacuum. Societies and political constructs are reflections of their respective eras. It's what Olivia Lang calls the immense entanglement of everything. The idea that everything affects everything else. Even rebel things like skateboarding have long reflected and been a reflection of the world around them. In the 70s, it personified the punk rock, lock up your daughter's middle finger to the man ethos. In the 80s, it was fingerless gloves, parachute pants, neon graphics, and synthetic beats. In the 90s, it channeled New York City, graffiti, hip-hop, and a high-low street style personified by the Supreme Shop on Lafayette, where hip-hop and incense wafted out the open doors onto the sidewalk, erasing the division between public and private space. And in all those decades, skateboarding mirrored/reflected not only pop culture, but the sexist, homophobic framework surrounding it. Women were excluded entirely, or welcomed to get paid mind-numbingly less for skating the same contests as men, just as women in corporate America got paid less than their male peers and were barred from the C-suite. Rarely did you see a woman's name in a skate video, either on a deck or behind the lens, the same way a woman's name rarely graced the top line of a Hollywood film under the title producer or director. And there were no gay skaters. At least, no out gay skaters. Because like the rest of the world, skateboarding considered anyone who wasn't straight an aberration. Sometime within the past decade, though, skateboarding stopped moving in lockstep with the world around it and started resembling the dissenters it long professed to rep, rejecting the stupid status quo to include whoever and dress however they wanted. It's these genuine outcasts who are at the heart of this book, their collective story anchored by the personal experiences of four skaters, each with a vastly different relationship to skate culture. Alana Smith fell in love with skateboarding at the age of 8, a precocious phenom breaking records and taking names until their talent threatened to destroy their life. Marby Miller grew up skating in a tiny town in Iowa. She liked how she didn't have to pretend to be someone else when she skated. She had zero designs on fame. When it happened, she was more surprised than you. Victoria Taylor was raised to look hot, nab a husband, have kids, and live happily ever after. At the age of 21, she stepped onto a skateboard and found a more inspired happily ever after. That is, until, as in all fairy tales, the wolves showed up at her door. And then there's Vanessa Torres, a real-life rebel teen heroine with a lap full of gold.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?